I'm a 24/7 dad, and that's the way that it's always gonna be. And it's not to stand up here and pat myself on the back. It is what it is. But if I'm not a 24/7 dad, who's gonna raise my kids? Because I remember as a young boy being raised on BET and MTV, being told there's nothing wrong with a little bump and grind. I didn't realize nothing wrong with a little bump and grind was a lie till she told me she was pregnant. Then I swore that the baby wasn't mine. If it looked good, I thought it was good. If it felt right, I thought it was right. I had this whole casual attitude going on about life until I got into some situations that thumped me on side of the head. Some of those ill-advised decisions I made back then, I still dread. If I knew then what I know now, it's a pretty good chance I'll be further along. I did a 180 and wisdom is in me, but sometimes it takes a lifetime to restore those things that you did wrong. But one thing I can say for certain is that I'm gonna make sure my children don't have to go down the same road. Because by me being a 24/7 dad, I can lead by example and at the same time, let the truth be told. So it's all about making that decision. But I'm gonna leave that entirely up to you. If you can sincerely say that you love your children the way that I do, then I'll see you in church with your children for them to learn about more about the Lord's word and staying true. How many people in here has ever heard of the story of the tortoise and the hare? I love that story because here you had this rabbit that was, you know, he just looked at that turtle and he was just saying, you are slow. There's no way in the world you can beat me. There's no way. I'm faster. I'm stronger. I'm swifter. You know, I'm agile. I can hop and do all these things. And all you can do is just go at this slow pace. And if you know the story well, what ended up happening is that they had that race. And when they had that race, I remember when the rabbit and the tortoise took off, all you saw was the dust that was left by the rabbit, and you saw the tortoise kind of just still at the start of the finish line, when the starter line, when they first started the race. And, you know, I kind of thought about myself in regards to that, because I was more like that tortoise. When you start that race, and you have some individuals that may have had their parents in their life and may have had, you know, some people said back in the day, a silver spoon in your mouth. Didn't have to really go through too much. But at the same time, some things may have transpired where they really didn't finish that race. Maybe because they never been through something. Maybe because they never was faced with some adversities and some challenges. But what I love about that race is that it reminds me of the Bible when it says that the race is not given to the swift nor the strong, but the one that endures to the end. And as I shared here last week, I didn't start that race too good with my first child. And like I said before, I was a womanizer and a cheat and a thief and a lot of different things that happened. But I'm just grateful to God that his grace, what we just sung up here, was sufficient for me. And now I have an opportunity to finish strong. So regardless of what type of parent you may have been, regardless of what may have transpired within your life, no matter if you started that race slow, I just want you to know that you can finish strong. Thank you.
Today we're going to continue our series on raising kings and queens in the kingdom of God. And I believe that we are embarking upon a brand new move of the Holy Spirit to really help engage you to understand how important it is to take care of our children, important it is to be mentors to other people and to raise them up in the things of the Lord. Maybe not even your own children, but maybe you have others' children, or maybe you're a grandma or grandpa. And so today, I want to talk to you about the importance of parenting and some of the successful things to do for families. And so would you pray with me today, okay? We're going to believe God for some awesome revelation. It's not only going to apply to parenting, but it'll apply to us in the congregation too, in the church. So Father God, we thank you this day for the spirit of wisdom and revelation that you give us the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation in the knowledge of you. May the eyes of our heart be open today to understand truth. We ask it in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength. These commandments today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up." That's Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 2. Also, Proverbs 22, verse 6 says this, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Today, I want to talk to you about some of the most important things, again, as we're going to continue talking about the things that I learned in parenting that were so valuable, that were so important, and how I applied them. And Pastor Laurel, the children's pastor, is going to be coming and sharing a little bit later on in the service some of the attitudes that were important to her that she actually picked up in the ministry that Pastor Tom and I really put our heart and soul and mind and strength into helping her. We really did. We took that as a mandate from God. In Deuteronomy 6, verse 4, it says, to impress them on your children, to talk about the things of God when you sit at home and when you walk along the road. And she'll be sharing some things in a little while. But in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, the Bible says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything will be added." When you're engaging in parenting, or when you're engaging in mentoring people in any kind of way, you could be a mentor in the church too, raising up people, pastoring, teaching people. The most important thing that you ever give people is the evidence that Christ and God are the most important things in the world. Jesus Christ. Everything revolves around Jesus. Everything revolves around God. To put God first in your attitude. Successful families, they make good choices like that. Many people are understanding this. And is it possible if I could just flip over and this will be used for Laurel later? Okay. When you take the time to put God first, every decision that you make, you think about it. You say, is this going to glorify God? Is this going to make God big? Is this going to show God off? Is this going to be important, or is this just about me or about what I want? You know, we've got to make sure that we glorify God. Many people are waking up to the truth that things don't make them happy. Things will not make us happy. But the essential priorities are God, family, and the church. Some people are very surprised when they come into the kingdom of God and they realize that it is a battle. You know, so many times people are given the persuasion that, you know, everything is so sweet and pie in the sky kind of an attitude. But when you get in the church, you realize there's problems, there's people, there's difficulties, there's circumstances, there's imperfection everywhere, okay? And so we've got to learn that the most important thing we endeavor to do is to seek God, to put our devotion and our heart into what we do for Jesus Christ and Him alone. If we do it for God, if we do it for God, then everything else will fall in place. Seek first God. Our devotion to God is a personal issue, personal prayer, obedience to God's word, giving God the first of our week, the first of our money, the tithe, that's the 10%, that's the top 10%, needs to be given to God. And when you honor that, God, it's amazing how God just brings things into fruition that need to be done. When you put Him first in your week by coming to church and faithfully anointing, you know, your mind with the power of the Holy Spirit, you know, it's amazing because God has specific words that He has all planned out for you on Sunday. And if you don't get there, you don't get it. And that's sad. If you don't get there, you don't get it. And so it's so essential that you revolve things around the things of the Lord. You know, and I'm not talking about religion here. You know, some of you may have seen this funny little thing that I do sometimes about religion. You know, oh, this is the way we go to church, go to church, go to church. And we put on our churchy smile and we put on our churchy attitudes. But all along, you know, this is what's happening right before we come to church. You're in the car and you're fighting with your husband, your kids are fighting, and it's kind of like this. Okay, Johnny, would you just sit down and shut up? We're going to be in church in just a few minutes, and you know what? I'm tired of this. Why don't you just shut up and sit down? Can't you handle this? I mean, it's just a five-minute ride. I'm telling you, just be quiet and stop hitting your sister. This is ridiculous. Just quiet down. Just quiet. And honey, why don't you rise up and help me sometimes? I mean, you're ridiculous. Whatever. You know, you just let me raise these kids all by myself and you're not there and you're not helping me. And I'm telling you, we're only 2 minutes away. Just can you calm them down for a second? And then they get out of the car. It's like, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Johnny, everything's okay. It'll be just fine. And honey, I am going to make you the nicest meal when you get home. What is that? That's hot dog attitudes. I'm telling you, God doesn't want this kind of religiosity, but he does want us to have a firm foundation that God is first. That church and the things of the Lord are valuable, and our heart needs to be in it. And not only that, but our heart needs to be into relationships with the people around us. You know, it's not all about just God. It's about God helping us to relate to other people. As we would relate to God, how do we relate to others? Okay, so if we can teach our children not to be masters of religion, but to be a master of relationships. Ooh, that's important. To be a master of relationships, to put God first by honoring him and honoring others. Now, what I've learned in parenting is that it's a balance of grace and truth. If you understand this, truth by itself is very intimidating and can be very counterproductive. Truth just standing stark naked there can make you very afraid because we can't live up to truth apart from God's grace. And so what I have found is that, and I'm gonna show you this on another piece of paper here, and I think it's most evident here, if I write it down, because you'll see it, okay? Relationship, this is for parenting, relationship plus rules or guidelines will equal righteousness. Okay? Relationship plus rules will equal righteousness for your children. That'll produce. You've got a relationship with them, a good relationship, but you do have rules, guidelines, discipline, things like that. You do have both of those. That'll produce righteousness. But what most people have in their life is they have either one of these. They have rules. Okay? Minus relationship. Just a lot of rules. Do this, do that, blah, 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 blah. And there's no relationship. And what that produces, remember this, it's very important, is rebellion. That produces rebellion. You have a lot of rules, very heavy on the rules, you have no relationship, or very little. It'll produce rebellion. But sometimes people go quite the opposite. They have a lot of relationship. I'll abbreviate that, okay? Minus the rules. And that produces bedlam, or you could say destruction. Total destruction for the kids. You may be able to be their friend, but they're not looking for you to be their friend right now when they're young. And I'll show you some guidelines about that as we go along. Destruction, if you just have a relationship and no rules or no guidelines, okay? So today we're going to talk about this balancing act of grace and truth. Boundaries, honestly, this, I've seen this in the daycare and I've seen it in working with kids. Boundaries make kids feel very secure. Boundaries make children feel very secure. It guards them from the tyranny of peer pressure and having to find their own way. Sometimes we don't know our way, okay? And so kids, especially under the age of 6, need quite a bit of boundaries. They need boundaries. They need guidelines. Now, kids can be professional eye rollers. And so, you know, they'll show you that they don't like it by going like this or whatever. You know, they will show you, but don't be moved by that. Help children to understand that there are consequences to bad choices. And it really encourage kids to express their feelings and their emotions to you in a respectful way. If they don't understand something, encourage them to talk to me. Tell me what you're feeling, okay? But do it in a respectful way. In other words, don't allow your children to address you in any kind of name-calling, sarcastic way, or a tone of voice that is not respectful. Okay? I used to think, and this is before I had Laurel, I used to think, and before I worked with kids a lot, I thought that you could be very, very nice. You could be as nice as you can, and niceness is going to train up that child, and their heart's going to be turned because they see you're so nice, and you're so kind. Wrong. Press the button, okay? Because realize that truth needed to be spoken also. Nothing wrong with expecting your children to be courteous, to be honorable, if you are doing that to them. Okay? So if kids are upset with you, remember to teach them, that they have a right to feel that way, but that you have the right as the parent to implement God's way and show them what God says about things. Because otherwise it's going to be a big battle between my way and your way. Okay? It's not all about my way or your way. It's about God's way. What does God say is proper? What does God say is true? So when you make that the issue, it's going to be far less invasive for you. Make it what God say. Both, you train your child, this is what God say, and this is what I do too. I do what God says even if I don't feel like it. I don't know how many times I'll be at the daycare and I say things like, we do things because they're right around here. We do things because they're right. We may not feel like it, but we do things because they're right. Okay? And so when children understand that everyone will benefit from our healthy dependency that we have upon God, things work out. We need to also remember this, that if you're in a relationship with a husband and wife, God has endowed women with special traits that are lacking in the husband, and vice versa. God does. He endows women with special things and men with special things. And when husband and wife work together in raising the children, everyone will benefit because they both have different gifts. My husband was always much more firm. I was always much more nurturing. And so, you know, we worked together well. When Pastor Tom would come in and say, no, we're not doing that. No, we're not doing that. That's out of God's will. Then, bam, that's the way it went. And so I could come alongside and encourage Laurel and be there for her in relationship when he may not always have had the time to do that. And so it all worked out very well because there was rules and relationship at the same time. And that produces righteousness. Now, one of the most important things that I believe are essential in raising children and essential in working together with people in the house of God, too, in the church, is positive communication. You know, I think most people, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think most people can handle quite a bit of correction if they have enough, and this is for later, if they have enough encouragement, okay? How many of you have a boss that is not encouraging at all? It's very difficult. But if you have a boss who's encouraging and telling you that, yay, hooray, this is right, you're doing a good job, here we go, I like this, good, you know, this is what I'm seeing, and they're rewarding you sometimes, or they're doing things, it becomes a lot easier when that boss comes along and tells you, hey, we've got to correct this part, I've seen a little slip in here, da-da-da-da, you know, it becomes a lot easier. Well, it's no different with parenting, or really, it's no different for anything in life. Communication is a critical skill for couples and families. Happy families talk. Okay? Personal words are important, and they can either make or break a relationship. Did you know in Matthew 12, verse 36 to 37, is that one up there, Tom? Can we put that up there in Matthew 12? I'm not sure if I gave that one to you, and if I didn't, I will read it personally. But did I give that one to you in Matthew? It's a Matthew 12. If I didn't, I'll just read it out loud. Matthew 12, 36 to 37. This is extremely important. When I read this, it put the fear of God in me. It says, for by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. But I tell you that men will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. Boy, did that ever shut me up. You know, really. I mean, on the day of judgment, we will be accountable for every word that we spoke. And so sarcasm, criticalness, gossip, backbiting, you know, really critically analyzing our children and raking them over the coals, these hurting words causes dysfunction in the families. So children need to be told that you can share anything. We can talk about anything, and it's okay, but remember this, God has the final word. What God says and what God's word says has the final word. And so I remember telling Laurel quite often, if you share things with me, honey, I'm not going to punish you for things that you share. Because so many times, it's almost like there's a boundary. There's something that causes you not to want to be able to share with your mom and dad because you feel like, oh, if they know about this, they're going to punish me. And so I set the prerequisite with Laurel. I said, you have an open door, okay? Deal with our problems. We've got to talk about our issues. Don't let these issues accumulate or we will give the devil an open door, okay? So I've learned that I didn't go to war about everything. I had my certain issues that I knew were important from the Word of God, and I did that. I lived those things. So remember, your son or daughter is changing all the time. They're growing, and you need to affirm them as they grow. Matthew 18:6 says, woe be to anyone who would hurt a child. Did you know that that's literally something God says is very, 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 very important, that we do not hurt children? Jesus says it's better that a millstone be tied about our neck and be cast into the sea than we offend one little child. Wow. Wow. Now, I'm going to spend the rest of the time today talking about something that will apply not only to child raising, but also to the house of God, to the church. And that's why this is essential, because parental authority not only comes in your homes, but it exists in all of creation. Okay, authority is something we have to know how to deal with, dealing with authority. And I'm going to ask you this question right now. Parents, do you know where your children are? Do you know who they hang with? Do you know what they are doing? It's amazing how many parents do not keep stock of what their children are doing because they may be too busy at work, too busy making money, too busy trying to make ends meet, that they've forgotten the most important issues are their family. And when that comes into play in my life, I just put a squash to it and I say, no, money is not more important. My job's not more important. You know, all these things that are weighing on me are not important compared to my family and compared to doing things God's way, okay? Now, There's pornography all over the internet. Have you ever thought about putting blocks on that internet? You better. If they're on the internet, put blocks on for them, because it's pop-up time anywhere and everywhere. And it's amazing how much is out there, and we don't even know it. We do not know it. Do you know there's things like witchcraft everywhere? It bleeds through the internet. It bleeds through TV programs that kids are watching. It's everywhere. So you've got to monitor at a young age what they're seeing and what they're watching. And this is what I showed you. I wanted you to see this here. Many parents think that it's okay to be a friend and a buddy. And so they start really big with that. They start with the friend and the buddy thing, and they're like, oh, buddy this, and oh, chummy this, and everything is, you know, really, you know, let's get down and just, I'll do whatever you want. You know what that's going to end? When you try to discipline them later, it's not going to work. When you try to discipline them later on in life, it's not going to work. It will not work. This little scenario here, I'm going to cross it out because it's not going to work for you. It won't work. Now, this is what will work. If you start at a young age, say 0 through 6, especially, I'm going to show you here, 0 through 6, you lead by authority, 0 through 6 years, especially at this time, 0 through 6 years, and you're disciplining them. You're guiding them. You're saying no to things. You're showing them what God says is truth. Chances are, like I said, when they're old, the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it. Now, when you get to be about 5 to 11, you're still going to have to be the trainer. You're still going to have to train them. You're still going to have to guide them. But you're showing them the way. You're teaching them the Word of God. You're getting them involved in the things of the Holy Spirit. This is the age where it's, you know, you're doing a lot of no's. No, yes, we're not doing it like this. This is the way God says. Here, you're training them. You're counseling them. You're working with them. You're helping them to understand why that's not going to work. Why doing this and having this attitude is not going to work for you. Okay, so you show them by sometimes consequences, okay? You let them make some mistakes, and you watch them deal with the consequences. Oh, that's bad. That's not going to pan out. Oh, say, hitting Johnny, hitting Bobby at work, or excuse me, at school, that's not going to work out, okay? And so you help them, train them by allowing them to work through some things and giving them a little bit more freedom. And freedom sometimes to make mistakes. Now, when they're 12 to 18, you're still their coach. You're not their buddy. This is the major mistake that a lot of parents make in the church. This is their teen years. And so you're letting them do whatever they want? I don't think so. I don't think so. But, you know, this is where a lot of people make the mistake. Parents make that mistake because they think that it's still important to be their friend. And it's not. It's important that you're their coach. You're their coach. You coach them through things. You find out what God says in the Word, and you say, this is what God says, and this is what we're going to do. Let me coach you through this. Let me show you how that's going to work out. Okay? And so that relationship, especially, if you're too busy for your children from 12 to 18, you will lose them. If you're too busy for your children at age 12 through 18, do whatever you can to fine-tune your lifestyle, to simplify it, to cut out some things. Do whatever you can to cut things back, so that you can be their coach, because they're going to be making a lot of mistakes and you need to help them through it. You need to guide them in the way they should go so that when they're old, they'll not depart from it. Okay? I remember I wrote some things down that were really important for Laurel. Laurel is accountable to us on everything that she watches right now on the television, on the internet, and through her emails. Everything, even now. Why? Because it took a lot of hard work. It took a lot of supervision when she was younger to make sure that she would be accountable to us on what she was doing. And we checked. We didn't say, okay, you can have your privacy in your room doing your computer and talking to friends. No, you don't. You don't have your privacy yet. I am a parent, and I have the right to find out what's going on in every area of your life. Every area. And I should. Because if I'm going to be your coach, I'm going to help you through this, please believe me, you're going to need some help. But this is an attitude that a lot of parents don't realize. They still need to take that initiative. They still need to find out what God says about things and coach their kids. Because we played down entertainment as being a god, you know what? Laurel developed a lot of good habits, like writing books, writing plays, doing things in school, doing things for the church. These are attitudes that need to be developed in children when they're that age, 12 through 18. And if you're there coaching them and helping them, get that proper parental authority. Parents who do not exercise this require their children to only obey, just obey and do what I say. That's not going to work. They won't do it unless there's someone coaching them in relationship with them. So it'll just create problems for society if we're literally cursing our children by separating them from the blessings of God. So what I say is this, that coaching phase in the game of life is that we stand by their side and we help them, and then we get to the point, if we do all this properly and God assists us in this, I'm telling you, it does work. So that 18 plus years, they can be your best friends. They can be your best friends. They'll help you. They'll walk with you. You see, it takes the time, though, to be able to devote into children. And this is where a lot of people miss it. It's like they think their kids are going to be raised on their own, but it doesn't work. Young children will rebel against authority. Teenagers rebel against authority. And so what we need to accelerate in this age is relationship with rules. Relationship with rules. Okay? Now, most society does this, and this is a sad indictment, and I don't mean to criticize people. Honestly, I don't. I'm not here to criticize. I'm not here to blame, because there's a lot of good things happening. But let me show you what happens if parents just release their children into areas where they have no awareness of. Let me show you what happens. I like to show you this video right now, okay? If you are releasing your children into an atmosphere where you do not know, it is not based on a godly system, it doesn't have Christ as the center, you're in for trouble from the very beginning, because it doesn't have the foundation that's based on God and Christ. We are the only society in the history that, particularly since the Industrial Revolution, when kids separated from their parents, we put them into the workplace right away. We put them into public schools. We just release them. And you know what? It's causing children not to be able to follow their parents, and it's causing children not to be able to follow God. This is the problem. And so I want you to understand this, okay? Because it takes time to be a good mentor. It's not something you just say, well, they're just going to raise themselves. It takes time. And we need to talk about spiritual authority here for a second. Okay, now, if you want your children to follow God's standards and you just release them over without any responsibility into public schools, into the workplace, and you don't give them any relationship and any rules, they will fail. They will fail. I assure you, they will fail. But if you're very smart about this, and I want you to understand this, God knows that some of us have made mistakes. I've made a lot of mistakes. God's grace is more than enough for me. But when I found out that most people just relinquish their kids over to have somebody else raise them without any responsibility, it just doesn't work. And so responsible parenting is what I am endorsing right now. Taking responsibility for your children, taking responsibility for their behavior, taking responsibility to train them in the things of God. Okay? Laurel, could you come forward? And in a few minutes, we're going to show you this video, but I'd like you to just take a few minutes and share from your heart, honey, how this, what this meant to you in growing God's way.
Amen. 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 The mic's on. Amen. First of all, I just wanted to say, too, that all of you, I believe, can receive this impartation today. Even if you, you know, I don't want you, any of you, to sit back and say, yeah, I don't have kids, I'm not planning on having kids, or I'm too old to have kids, or whatever. This does not apply to me. Absolutely not. Because first of all, as an adult in the world, you are influencing children all around you every day.
Amen.
And some of you may even be teachers. Some of you may be working in law enforcement. I don't know. Just in the marketplace, you're going to encounter children. And you're going to also encounter parents of children.
Correct.
And you can influence them positively. So please just receive everything that Pastor Lori is saying as for you personally today, because God knew you were going to be here, and so it's not a mistake. But I wanted to also just affirm the words Pastor Lori was saying and understand that a lot of these things, a lot of you, maybe not a lot of you, but some of you maybe, hopefully not, but some of you maybe might be sitting there thinking, you know, Pastor Lori, she's just kind of radical about this. She's just kind of a little extreme, you know, she's a pastor, of course she's extreme, you know. But I will say that a lot of people call Jesus extreme. And that was, you know, and he was, because he was actually really, we're the ones that are a little extreme in the things of the philosophies of man. And really, God is normal, and we are called to be normal as defined by the Bible.
Amen.
And that is all the values that Pastor Lori is sharing today. And she asked me to come and say some things about kind of the, one of the main things I took away growing up as a child and a teenager. And I will say it was pretty much the first point that she shared about how every decision that we made in our family, every single decision, was always based in going back to the Word of God. It wasn't about what was convenient, I'm just going to step on some people's toes. I'm sorry. But it just, I have to say it. It's not about saving money. It's not about doing everything that the world is saying is important. Really, it's about God.
It is.
And does that mean that you just have to sit at home and read the Bible all day? Absolutely not. Of course not. Because we're in the world. We have to have food to eat. We have to go get jobs. We have to drive cars, whatever. You know, we have to do things to keep our family and body intact. But I will say that we are a spirit, and we happen to have a soul and live in a body. So really, our spirit is what needs to be nourished most before everything else. And that actually will affect every other area.
Right.
And that was something that I took away from my childhood and my teenage years especially, that, you know, it was really emphasized to me, more so, you know, I'll give you an example. You know, say I was struggling in something in my schooling, with my grades or whatever, it was never emphasized, you need to get good grades, you need to get good grades, you need to be, you know, this, that, you have to have a certain amount of grade percentage, this and that. It was always that, Laurel, you know, God, I want you to do your best, because God hates laziness. It was never that I'm not pleased with your grades. It was God wants us to be diligent and to be hard workers. And that actually would cause me to have the fear of the Lord, to say, I better not be lazy. I better do my best. And that would in turn cause my grades to improve.
Correct.
And it's amazing how, like, you know, because then what happens is you're not trying to do it in a work of the flesh. You're focusing on the Spirit. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, the Bible says that if you seek first the kingdom of God, all these things will be added unto you. But sometimes we forget that, and sometimes we think, well, you know, it's true for maybe, you know, this or that, but there's a couple exceptions. There's no exceptions. There's really not. We have to seek first the kingdom of God and then let God help us to handle our affairs that maybe wouldn't be quote-unquote spiritual. And That was one example for maybe grades, or maybe it was the people that I hang out with. Maybe it was my relationships. And this is also, I mean, this is not just something that was implemented to me as a child. Now I'm carrying this through to my adult life, that every decision that I make, whether it's someday who I will marry someday, or you know what jobs I will get, or what job I have, but or you know what people I hang out with, my personal choices, my personal values, my media choices, it's all like, okay, you know, what's going to honor and glorify God here? And it's amazing how when I was, and I will say that I was never a quote-unquote bad girl. I just was never a, you know, when someone goes, oh, she's a bad girl. I was never a bad, one of those really, of course, we're all sinners, I will say that. But, you know, what the world would judge as someone who is bad. I never quite crossed that line, I will say. But it's incredible how deceptive I was. There was some things that I have done. Thankfully, the Lord protected me from many, many things. But I will say that, okay, there's kind of like, okay, you know, it's there's sins of the flesh, the acts that you actually commit. Then there's sins of the heart, things that you think. Like even Jesus said that if you've lusted after somebody or if you've been angry towards someone, you've already, you know, killed that person. Or if you've lusted, you've committed adultery.
Right.
And, I mean, in that arena, I'm a bad girl. I mean, as far as hating people or thinking lustfully or, like I was saying, just about deception and things. I mean, I remember because I was, because of this whole thing, again, when Pastor Lori was saying they're going to be professional eye rollers, she's speaking from experience. She's speaking from me doing that to her all the time when I was 13, 14, and thankfully we have some of it documented so I can actually go back and go, I'm so thankful the Lord brought me out of that. But
videos,
you know,
videos, ooh.
Family movies, you know, family vacation movies, you know, birthdays, whatever. It just is like, I'm just like, goodness gracious, you know, Mom, how did you put up with me? You know, but it, you know, and she would just kind of go, oh yeah, and I'm like, well, but it's incredible how when she was sharing that about how they're not going to like it, but you have to bring those boundaries, and some parents just kind of crumble under the pressure because they just think, you know, well, just I can't stand this, you know, stress in my home, you know, I just can't stand this opposition, you know. But now it's incredible because the peace that we have in our home is beyond anything I've seen anywhere ever. Because so really God was like, God's paying us back for all the times that, you know, that there had to be that conflict because of righteousness sake and the word's sake. Now it's like, now you get to have peace. Because now I've had those values instilled in me. And of course, there's still times where I need to receive correction. But it's incredible how now when a word of correction will come to me, it takes me about 5 seconds, usually, maybe 10, if it's a really big issue, you know, and I immediately go, wow, that's, yeah, you're right. I need to, sorry, you know, it's my bad. You know, I need to come under this and submit to this and be corrected. And, but that didn't come just by, you know, a little word here or there, you know, oh, you shouldn't do that. Yeah, okay, bye. You know, it came from intense relationship, and I will say intense rules. You know, I was talking about how I've committed a lot of sins of the heart, and my mom and my father were notorious among all my friends for, you know, oh, they're, whoa, you know, they're really, you know, they're, it's, and but that was incredibly good for me. And it's amazing how it kind of kept some of the negative friends, like the really, really bad ones, the ones who would have really incredibly ruined my life, kind of almost, they were scared. They were scared. And it was a good thing because it protected me from a lot of evil. And sometimes the only way that I could get away with doing something that was wrong would be till my parents weren't home. And by wrong, I mean, you know, watching something on the internet, you know, that, you know, was kind of strange or worldly or secular or notorious for me was crushes and little relationship flings, emotional flings more so than physical. And one thing I'll share with you, just an example of something that, you know, and I don't mean to keep going on and on, but I just appreciate you listening. But one thing I remember, I'm so glad that the Lord has changed me because now I can barely get away with anything, and I'm like repenting. Praise God, because I have such peace in my life. But I will say that I remember the point in my life. I think I was 13. And again, the coach, remember this all goes back to the guidelines of, and this wonderful diagram here, because some parents at that point when I was 13 or whatever, and I'll get to the story what I did in just a second. No, you're all wanting to know what I did. but that point of being the coach, that was such an important time for me, because sometimes actually from 13 or 12 to 18, when parents start letting up because the kids can do more on their own, that's actually not the time to let up. That's the time to, you know, continue to bring the word and to bring the strong relationship and strong guidelines, because that's really, to be honest, that is what really kept me from going into rebellion. Because, you know, and you see that a lot with people, maybe pastors' kids or parents who had really strict rules and everything, and you see them go off and, oh, I never want to live like that again. But it's amazing, because it's the marriage of the guidelines and the relationship. Because my mom and my dad, every opportunity, they would always do things with me, that I'd always be with me, that I always want to have they try to make our home a really happy place. I mean, unless there was a time that needed to be correction, it wasn't like, a graveyard. it was a happy, we try to actually, my parents would purposely try to do things, you know, that would be enjoyable for us as a family to do. But then there was the times where then I could at least a little better receive the correction. And like I was saying that one time, or one of the times, it's not the only time I was deceptive, but I remember one time, it was probably more than once, but when I was 13 or 14, I would wait for my mom and dad to leave, and then I would grab the phone and call this one guy that liked me. And I would sit, I remember sitting in my room by my window talking to this guy, and then waiting for the car to drive in to know that my parents were home. And I go, okay, gotta go, bye. And, you know, so like what she's saying, you know, where are your kids right now? What are they doing? Who are their friends? And because of that strong guidelines, you know, I was protected from anything happening to me physically. But emotionally, I have given my heart to this and that and this, you know, but thankfully, you know, kind of like Delvin was sharing, by the grace of God, he's restored.
Correct.
And now I can look back and go, you know, this is what God's taken me from. But I just attribute it really, obviously, to God and the spirit, the supernatural revelation that was given to both my parents about how to raise me up in the ways of the Lord. And so I just encourage you just to, you know, not think this is radical, not think this is like, you know, it's too far beyond your reach. Because, you know, and again, as Delvin said in the very beginning, that no matter, even if you started slow, just get on the right path now. You know, and even if your kids are, or this can apply to grandchildren as well, and to certain things can apply to grandchildren, or even just to your grown children, you can begin to just impart to them special things and spiritual things, and how, again, going back to what I said, and I'll be done, every decision that we made was always around the Lord and about the things of the Lord, priorities.
That's it.
It was always, you know.
What does God say about it?
Yeah, it was like, this friend, let's take them, let's line them up to the word. People have to be perfect. Nobody's perfect. I understand that. But it was, you know, okay, how does hanging around this person cause you to behave? You know, I remember certain times I'd be with someone, maybe if I was in a public place or whatever, and for 2 days I would act differently. I would talk like them. I would do this. And my mom's like, you know, you're acting like so-and-so. And I'd be like, I'm not acting like so-and-so. I'm not joking. I would act like that. Everyone thinks I'm this wonderful, sweet person. And thankfully now I am. But it's incredible how nasty I was as a 13 and 14. And, you know, I didn't start getting in a little bit more wisdom till I was about 17. But it's incredible how it took that time. Like she said, it's an investment. It's kind of like growing a tree, okay? You're not going to see this beautiful, strong tree, and, you know, by the time they're even like 10 or 11, it's going to take some time, because now I'm 24, and now we're reaping the benefits of the beautiful the beautiful guidelines in the Word of God. But there were times in our home, I remember there would be bedlam of me rebelling and the Word coming forth to me. And, you know, there were times where I would think, I have the worst family in the world. My parents did not let me do anything. And I just, like, you know, my dad's making me laugh right there. But, you know, I would not ever trade my family for anything else now. And so I encourage you that take the time and endure till the end, even if it's hard. And even if there's times where you think, you know, goodness, am I doing the right thing? I feel like my kid hates me. You know, it's the beautiful marriage of relationship, being, you know, making that child feel as loved as possible. My mom probably encouraged me, you know, till my ears would fall off sometimes. It was always just like, you're the best, Laura. I love you. This, you're so good at this, you're so good at this. And it was all kind of like, almost like I didn't hear it sometimes. But then it was going into my spirit, so I knew I was loved. And then even if I would kind of be like, oh, I'm, you know, when that correction would come, I would, even if I was rebelling against it, you know, and acting out towards it, it was not necessarily affecting the person of myself. It was affecting what it needed to affect, which was my behavior. But it wasn't going into me as me being a failure or me being anything. It was that this is not who you are. I love you. You're a queen. You're called by God. You're anointed. You're God's got his hand in your life. And this the way you're acting or whatever, or this thing or this friend or this relationship, this isn't worthy of you. This isn't what, you know, this isn't God's best. And so just continue to receive in the last times we have, and be blessed.
Let's give Laurel a hand. That was awesome. Thank you for your bravery, Laurel. Now, you may not have been born with a silver spoon, but you do have a golden crown on your head. So God says, you may not have been born with a silver spoon, but all of you have a golden crown on your head. And I'd like to read to you just a little bit of a backdrop in the book of Acts of how important it is, and I'm going to put this down. Can I switch now? Okay. How important it is to have what I call proper authority in your life. Proper authority. Without proper authority, nobody grows up good. And that applies not only in the church, but also in your homes, the church and the homes. Proper authority. Authority is this whole thing about authority issues. It's amazing because I can talk about authority all I want to, but unless we understand the importance of proper authority, we will not see how important it is in our relationships with each other in the church or with our families. Okay? Now, in the book of Acts, there was a very important decision that was called the Council at Jerusalem. And some men came down from Judea to Antioch, and they were teaching the brothers, unless you are circumcised according to the custom taught by Moses, you cannot be saved. This brought Paul and Barnabas into sharp debates. They were fighting with one another about how, you know, the Gentiles were going to be saved and what was the proper order. It says, so Paul and Barnabas were appointed, along with some other believers, to go to Jerusalem to see the apostles and the elders about this question. And the church sent them on their way, and as they traveled through Phoenicia and Samaria, they told how the Gentiles had been converted. This news made all of the brothers very glad. When they came to Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church and the apostles and the elders, which are those that are in authority. The Bible says the apostles and the elders are those that are in authority. Okay? And we need to understand how to relate to those that are in authority. Same thing in our home. Moms and dads are the ones that are in charge. Okay? So listen. Then some of the believers who belonged to the party of the Pharisees stood up and said, the Gentiles must be circumcised and required to obey the law of Moses in order to be saved. So there was a challenge here. The Gentiles have got to be circumcised. All along in the Old Testament, they were circumcised. That was a thing that was required. But now the new covenant is here,
And they're trying to decide what to do. And listen to this. The apostles and the elders met to consider the question. And after much discussion, Peter got up and addressed them. Brothers, you know that some time ago, God made a choice among you that the Gentiles might hear from my lips the message of the gospel. God, who knows the heart, showed that he accepted them by giving the Holy Spirit to them, just as he did to us. He made no distinction between us and them. Now, why do you try to test God by putting on the necks of the disciples a yoke that neither can bear? No, we believe it is through the grace of our Lord that we are saved. So the whole assembly became silent as they listened to Barnabas and Paul telling about the miraculous signs and wonders God had done. And when they had finished, then there was a man who had the authority in the church. His name was James. James was the one with the authority. And in every local church, there are those that are in authority. Pastor Tom is here in authority. In your home, you and the mom, or your mom and, you know, the mom and dad are the authorities. And they hear and make the final decisions. Unless we understand that, life would be bedlam. It would be totally confusing. And it says here, when they had finished talking, everybody had a chance to weigh in on this decision. And like in your home, you know, you may hear your sons or daughters out. You can listen to what they have to say. But ultimately, there has to be someone who's the tiebreaker. And that's the dad and the mom. In agreement. And they need to be in agreement and under God's covering. Here it is, undercover. If everybody stays undercover, things work out. Okay? If moms and dads step out from God's covering and they make a decision for their children that are not in relationship to God's covering, they don't have any covering. But if moms and dads make the decision about God and what God says is right, they're undercover then, and they can tell their children what's right. Now, listen to what James did here. It says that when they finished, James spoke up and said, "Brothers, listen to me. Simon has described to us how God at first showed the concern by taking from the Gentiles a people for himself. The words of the prophets are in agreement with us, as it is written. And they said what the words of the prophets said." So then James says this, "It is my judgment, therefore, that we should not make it difficult for the Gentiles who are turning to God. Instead, we should write to them, telling them to abstain from food polluted by idols, from sexual immorality, from the meat of strangled animals, etc." So what they did is they came into agreement, and James was the one who was undercover by God, the one in authority who had to make the decision. Now, that's the same as it is in the church. Pastor Tom is a final authority. He can listen to people. He can understand what everybody says, but there has to come a point where the buck stops somewhere. Now, in your homes, moms and dads, you are it. You're it. You're the final authority. Now, what I'm asking you to do, though, is to think about this. Is your authority based on God's authority? Because if it is, you're undercover. That's what my daughter Laurel was always trying to allude to, is that we would try, we would search the scriptures, we'd find the word, and find what God said about things. Okay? Now, what I want to show you is this. If we do this, if we put our children in a situation outside of being undercover, okay, we put them in jeopardy. Because we need to provide covering for them, whether it be in the church, whether it be in the schools, that has godly covering, godly morals, godly ideas. Now, let me show you what happens if we just give our children over to anything and anyone. I'd like you to see this video because we're truly raising kings and queens for God. And we've got to understand that they're everywhere they go, they're under some kind of authority. Okay? Whether it be at the school or whether it be at the church, or whether it be in your home, they're under some kind of authority. So are we watching to see what kind of authority is good for them? Take a look at this, and I'm going to challenge you today, and we're going to, after you see this video, we're going to stand up and we're going to pray together, because God wants to pioneer some great things in our church and in our community, but we've got to be in agreement with him, okay? We've got to get in agreement with God and stay undercover, and God will bless it. So take a look at this and see, are you undercover? Are you undercover?
Of money for the propagation of opinions which he disbelieves and abhors is sinful and tyrannical.
For a long time, there was a pretty big difference between Republicans and Democrats.
The budget plan I submit to you on February 8th will realize major savings by dismantling the Departments of Energy and Education.
As recently as 1996, the Republican Party was still saying in their platform, the Department of Education is unconstitutional and needs to be eliminated.
The federal government's involvement in government schools is totally unconstitutional, totally beyond the purview of the federal government. And even when the states are in charge, they have permitted horrible things to go forward. They are truly indoctrination academies.
During the Nixon administration, Howard Phillips headed two federal agencies, one of which he was appointed explicitly to dismantle.
The government schools are doing their best to train future generations to be servants of the state, to adopt the ideology of dependence. If our intention is to honor God and his son, we must remove our children from the government schools. The family is the cornerstone of a just society. And for the family to be a strong institution, mom and dad have to play the leading role in the education of their children.
If you meet someone who's a public school educator, what's your exhortation to them as much as you can to get them to get their kids out of the schools?
Well, do you want your children to become adults believing the things that you believe, or do you want them instead to accept beliefs which are antithetical to your own and which manifest disrespect for your culture, for your history, for your beliefs, for your faith? I mean, do you want your children to belong to you or to the state?
It seems in Washington there's no limit to the amount of statist control that they seek. Listen to Arne Duncan, the current Secretary of Education.
I think our schools should be open 12, 13, 14 hours a day. So it's not just lengthening, obviously, the school day, but a wide variety of after-school activities, drama, arts, sports, chess, debate, academic enrichment, programs for parents, GED, ESL, family literacy nights, potluck dinners. Where schools truly become the centers of the community, great things happen. So I think
potluck dinners? The center of our social lives? Wait a minute, this sounds a bit like a church to me. And what about our families, our neighbors, and our friends? Surely that's where we should look for community, not the government schools. Could it be that the government-run schools are in a real sense trying to replace the church and family as the most influential institution in our culture? When Arne Duncan was the head of the Chicago Department of Education, he proposed the establishment of the first high school designed for homosexual, bisexual, and transgender teens. One of the people advocating for this abomination was Kevin Jennings, a radical homosexual activist, who was later appointed by Secretary Duncan as nothing less than our nation's safe school czar.
As the Assistant Deputy Secretary of Education, leading the Obama administration's efforts to make schools safe for all students. Washington has a role to play, but we need people at every level if we're really going to create change in America. When a student hangs up a sign for their Gay Straight Alliance meeting, they are creating change. When a teacher overhears a kid saying, "That's so gay," and interrupts and says, "What do you mean by that?" they are creating change.
Mr. Jennings, who wrote the foreword for a book entitled Queering Elementary Education, also endorsed It's Elementary, a video designed to train educators in homosexual indoctrination of little kids in public schools across America.
Here we go. Asha's moms.
I think that I'm a better teacher now because I know that in the classroom, I have to be here for all of my students. I have to affirm who they are.
Can't have two moms, she said briskly, but I do.
They are stealing our children. But because they are leaving the body of the child with us, we don't even know what's happening.
For the last 30 years, Erwin Lutzer has been the senior pastor of Moody Church in Chicago's Lincoln Park neighborhood. Dr. Lutzer has authored more than 30 books and is heard on 3 radio broadcasts nationwide.
Values clarification says that every child should make up his own or her own values. In point of fact, that's not the way it works.
Today, the law says that if you're the same sex, 2 men and 2 women, you can't get married. It is against the law. And I thought that it might be kind of fun for us to sort of be pretend judges for a few minutes. What I'm going to give each of you is a sheet that just tells you that some people think that it's wrong for gays to get married, that it's not natural, and that it goes against what a family is. Other people think that the state should not decide these things, that it should just be up to 2 adults to decide what they want to do. What do you think the answer to these questions are? Should gays be allowed to marry? Should they not? What I want you to do is have a discussion.
You begin with relativism, and then you ask questions that are open-ended. Regarding abortion, regarding family planning, regarding sexuality.
I don't see why they shouldn't get married. No, I mean, they love each other. It's just like any other people.
They just can't get married like that. I mean, one might have a disease and they want to get married and they won't even know about it. And then maybe the other person might catch it and then they won't be able to get married.
No, but a man and a woman could have a disease.
What you want to do is to make sure that each child can express whatever he likes.
Remember what Sarah said about the kids in the playground being told by a teacher that they might be gay and just not know it yet?
Parents, they want to think that their teachers are doing good, but they don't know what really goes on inside of the classroom.
So you think that they can't get married?
I don't know. Who cares if we were gay? Do you care?
No.
At the end of the day, this is not a case of every child making up his own mind. The goal of value clarification has been achieved. The outcome has already been determined by the curriculum. And in this way, education undercuts parents, it undercuts the church.
Yes, it does.
Most assuredly, it undercuts the absolutes of the Bible.
Yes, it does.
I've always had an interest in Nazi Germany.
Okay.
Particularly why it was that the church bought into Hitler's agenda to the...
I want to stop here right now because I want you to understand that whatever is undercutting God is called the spirit of the Antichrist. Okay? And remember what I told you today. You may not like what I have to say, but I stand on God's word when I say it. And I came up here armed for battle because God says this. We need to get our kids. This is a prophetic word from the Lord, and hear it. We need to get our kids undercover. We need to get our kids undercover, under the proper covering. Because I had a prophetic vision. Actually, the Lord woke me up 2 or 3 years ago, and I saw this vision, exactly the same vision that I saw right here, where children, 5, 6, and 7, as these were right now, were being indoctrinated into gay issues and abortion issues and things that they have no right to do. And parents don't know about it. And they don't have anything to say about it. And it's wrong. And it's grieving God. It's grieving God. And that's the reason why the Lord gave me a prophetic word and said, start the daycare and start the school. Because our school is going to be, and is even now, based on the covering of Almighty God, the principles of God, where we teach the children at that young age. Remember, here it is, leading by authority, 5 to 11, training them in the ways of the Lord so that when they are old, they will not depart from it. When they're 12 and 18, eventually when we have the high school, giving them good coaches that'll coach them in the things of God and show them what the Bible says. And so they're not owned by the state. They need to be owned by God. They need to be owned by God.
And that's the reason why we're doing what we're doing, is we want our kids to be under the proper covering. What covering are your children under? What covering? In your home, in the school, in the church? Notice that. Believe. And don't say, well, they're just being ornery. No, they're just doing what kids do in schools without a moral community. They're just doing what kids do. Without a moral community, there's no hope. Now, I want you to understand this. Jesus wants us to be a catalyst for this prophetic vision. So I'm going to ask that you stand up with me, okay? Because we're going to take the time to say, what does God say? What does God say? If your children, and as this thing said, they're going to be giving over to the public schools more often, you know, more than 8, 9, 12 hours a day with potlucks and socials and this and that, and that's the direction that it's going into, we need to stand up and say, wait a second here. I'm going to devote my money into raising children God's way. I'm going to devote my time and my money into raising children God's way. Because then when they're old, they will not depart from it. Do you know in the public schools that, and I'm not downing public schools because some of them are educating people. It's just that they're not under God's covering. They don't have the covering of God. We're not even allowed to pray. We're not even allowed to pray. And so we've got to take a stand, and we've got to say what is right and make that decision to say, I'm going to sow my life, my family, and help them, help your children to do what you need to do in the home. But it's amazing, as much as I did with Laurel in the home, when she was out with her friends and they were doing wrong things, there went everything that I was training them. Yep. I'm serious. You can be an awfully good parent, and you can be very, very good with your children, and yet if they're not in the proper moral community, it's going to dissolve. And I saw it before my eyes. I saw her getting disrespectful. I saw her rolling her eyes. I saw her on the phone. I saw her hanging with the boys. And you know what? At a young age, she didn't have to be hanging with boys. She should be hanging with her daddy. She should be hanging with her daddy and her mama, being the best friends. She didn't have to be doing boyfriend stuff. That's not till, the Bible says in Song of Solomon, till it's time. You don't need to awaken love until it's time. And are you going to be having your children getting married when they're 14? Then why are you allowing them to have boyfriends and girlfriends and all this kind of happy jazz right now? That's not going to pan out. That's just going to lead to some kind of emotional arousal, which will probably lead to a physical arousal, which will probably lead to pregnancy. So don't go there. It's not wise. Let your family be that place where it's your best friends are in your family. And if you don't have enough time to be undercover and to get them undercover, then sell whatever you have. Sell your home. Sell your car. Live in an apartment if you have to. But do what it takes. I've seen so many people compromise in this area where they don't want to send their children to a private school just because government will pay for it. Well, then that's what you're going to get right up there that we just saw. That's what you're going to get. You get what you pay for. You get what you pay for. Pay for something good, you'll get something good. But if you just let it go and say, well, government's going to pay for my school. Uh-oh, that's what you're going to get up there. You're going to get a lot of compromise. You're going to get a lot of eye rolling. And you might even have some illegitimate children before the time. And I'm telling you, that will be a hassle for you later on. It's better to have the freedom right now to be able to put what you need to into them when they're young. Train them, coach them when they're teens. Because then they're not going to depart from it. And I'm encouraging you today to put your life and give your life for this purpose. No, it's not fantastic. You know, I turned up many, many record labels to travel the country to train my daughter. So I know what I'm talking about right now. I'm not preaching you something that I didn't live. I had people that were going to do record labels for me. I could have been singing all over the country, doing concerts with 2,000 or 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 people. But I decided, you know what? I'd rather have the freedom later on. And remember, I told you about this. This is an important little picture here. If you do the discipline early, the freedom comes later. It takes some time. It takes some energy. So let's pray today, and we're gonna ask the Lord to help our children to be placed in a place of protection. And I'd like you to really believe God with me, because we have an awesome facility here. We've been given an awesome facility. We can grow here. We have a daycare now that has 35 children in it that are under the age of 4. That's a lot of kids. But we also have a school that has 5 kids, kindergarten and first grade, and we want to expand that. And we're going to move into that big red sanctuary up there and make it awesome, hire some new teachers. But I'm telling you, it's got to be something that we believe in as a church. And that's why I showed you these videos, not to down anybody, not to put anyone down. I'm not here to bring down any public schools. I'm sure there's good things happening in there. But I'm telling you this, if we want God's thing to happen, then we have to do it God's way. And we've got to have a school that has God's covering. And that's what we're doing, okay? And so let's pray right now as we pioneer this. And I'd like to do this. I really want to do this. Pastor Tom, may I have liberty to just ask the Lord if we can do this? Because in December, on the 20th of December, what we're going to do those two days is we're going to reach out to our community to bring people in. And we're going to have a wonderful event with the daycare. It's going to be with puppets, and Delvin's going to share, and we're going to reach out and offer kids a free bag of candy for those that come in the community, and there'll be a real time of revival. But the following day at our church is going to be called Presence for Jesus. It's a great event, Presence for Jesus, where we give every child a present. And what we'll do is we'll really make this awesome with a dinner afterwards, where everybody can go downstairs and have soup and salad and fixins and whatever Christmas dinner we have. But right now, I'd like you to realize that we're pioneering this right now. We're moving forward. We have 5 children in our school, but it's going to continue to grow. And so I'm asking you to help it to grow even this year by helping us to sponsor this Presence for Jesus. And if you can sit down, we're going to pray right now, and I'm going to put the baskets up here. If you would like to be a part of sponsoring this for children, Presence for Jesus. And we need to purchase the presents right now and have them packaged, and it's going to be really, really fun, but it's going to also reach out to our community to help them to understand the importance of Christian education for their children. Because you can, you know, I said, you can have a great family life, and you can just lose them right there in the public schools. Because there's no covering that's godly there. And so let's pray right now and let's believe. Heavenly Father, we pray that our children, especially the children in our church, Lord, would be undercover. We ask that you would supply every need that we have to pioneer and to further this Christian school that we have. Lord, bring in the people that have needs, bring in the people and the teachers and everything to continue to further this. And God, we pray for this event, Presence for Jesus, for our community, that it would be an awesome event for everyone, that they would understand Jesus Christ and Him crucified, and that they would be the light of the world, and that these children that you're raising up in this church, in this center, Lord, would just affect the world all over the place. God, I pray that some people that don't have silver spoons would realize that they've got a gold crown on their head because of Jesus Christ. And every child in this church, every child in this school would have that gold crown upon their head and be raised in the way of the Lord, that when they are old, they will not depart from it. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.